Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad our good friend Steve Del Bianco is here, too. Steve has been hanging out with us now for more than 17 years. He's one of the great members of our Brain Trust folks. He's executive director of NetChoice, but in his global leadership role, he's vice chair for policy coordination with ICANN, which is now a more of a globally influenced organization than ever before, and it's has a whole lot more to do with your internet world than you probably know or think about every day. And Steve, as I've mentioned earlier, is one of our great unsung heroes in terms of global leadership to help you and me make sure that you and I have as unfettered access to the internet as possible. And whether you know it or not, if you've been listening to my show, you know it because I tell you about it. He's one of our heroes. Steve Del Bianco, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure to be back.
It's good to have you back. So let's get to one of the things that we've been talking about now almost since we first met, Steve, and that's the remote sales tax issue. It began decades ago with catalogs. It's now part of the internet situation, and this is where states want to tax all internet sales, which, as you've been pointing out to us for almost 17 years, is really going to put a huge burden on small businesses. But as hard as you've been fighting and others are fighting, it looks like we're losing the war.
You're right, Jim. But as you know, all sales are taxed, whether they're internet, catalog, or across the counter. The only question is, could a state force a small business in a faraway state to collect and file and pay sales taxes, but it has no physical presence in the state? The good news is back in 1992, the infamous Quill case, Quill was a catalog, office products catalog company from Massachusetts. The Supreme Court in the United States said that no state can force an out-of-state business to collect a sales tax. So out of state means if you don't have no physical presence at all in that state, you can make sales to customers, but you don't have to collect and pay the sales tax because it would be an unreasonable burden on interstate commerce. And at the time the Supreme Court said that, things weren't nearly as complex as they are today when we have 12,000 different taxing jurisdictions in the United States. 12,000. Many with their own rates, rules, definitions.
And 20% of retail sales weren't going over the internet in those days either.
It had nothing to do with the internet. The internet wasn't even in existence in 1992. There was no e-commerce. Yeah. It was all about the Quill catalog company. And the states have bristled over that ruling ever since and tried various ways, end runs, full frontal assaults, a variety of techniques to get Congress or the courts to allow 46 tax auditors from 46 states to reach across their borders to any business anywhere in the country. And I'm sorry to say that they're getting close. I've had my fingers in the dike for 15 years on this one, but the dam could burst at any time. I'll tell you about two or three particular states that your listeners may want to pay attention to. Just last week, we filed a lawsuit in South Dakota against a law where they were going to require any business doing 200 sales in the state of South Dakota to collect their sales tax, regardless of where you are in the country. This was intended, Jim, as a direct challenge to the Quill case. So our lawsuit was made it all the way to the state Supreme Court in South Dakota, and we got a win there. But that means that South Dakota is going to appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. It's a very different collection of justices than it was in 1992. So there's certainly a risk that the Supreme Court might say that things have changed, and we're going to allow South Dakota to reach across state borders.
So is that the test, Steve? Is the South Dakota one going to be the test? Is that going to be the internet sales Roe v. Wade?
It'll be the first test opportunity. The Supreme Court may or may not grant the case when it's appealed from South Dakota. So if the Supreme Court takes it, it would be the Roe v. Wade. And I can assure you and your listeners that NetChoice will be there with briefs to argue that
right.
Small businesses are the ones who suffer the disproportionate burdens and costs if they have to become the tax collector for 12,000 jurisdictions, 46 states. So we'll do our worst to get the best.
But Steve, small business let me ask you this, Steve: if it does go to the court, to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court rules against South Dakota, would that set everybody else back? Would that not be a victory for your organization and therefore small businesses?
Yeah, it's a great point, Jim. And it turns out that the states have a multi-part battle against the e-commerce industry. So even if we win in the U.S. Supreme Court and they uphold Quill, I want to give you two examples of things the states are doing to go around that ruling. One is the reporting regimes. Colorado today requires anyone selling into Colorado to report to the state if they didn't collect sales tax on the sales to Colorado residents. And for most items, that doesn't seem to be a privacy problem, but it would be a privacy problem for really sensitive items regarding politics,
right.
sexual preferences, clothing, medical issues, financial issues. And there's also the burden on businesses. Think about small businesses having to collect the data and then file reports to the state of Colorado telling them what customers in Colorado were purchasing from that vendor. So the same thing's true in Massachusetts. They've got a new rule that is the Washington State rule, which takes effect in January, where you have to collect a report. And Massachusetts in particular is going to get the attention of some of your listeners.
Hey, Steve, let me stop you for a second, because I mean, it's not that I don't want to hear about Massachusetts, but let me throw out some implications here. Folks, the only way small business owners will be able to fill the void that is being left by Sears and Macy vacating the marketplace is if you can not only deliver face-to-face, but if you could also compete to the level that you can online. What Steve is fighting against is going to prevent you, it's going to hurt you, your ability to compete online, to be able to sell online. And so the implications of this are good for Amazon, because they're already set up for it. They're already doing this. It's good for companies like Amazon. It's bad for companies like yours. Steve, I have to take a quick break. We're going to be right back. I want to congratulate Steve again on his hard work and tireless efforts on trying to solve this problem. Keep your fingers crossed and go to netchoice.org and support them. They can use your funds to help.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.